It's sad but real that many of us lose our curiosity as we get older. And in today's episode, we are exploring why that is and how we as adults and educators can stay curious. Hello and welcome to Blooming Curious, a podcast that's all about nurturing that natural curiosity in our early years kids and students. I'm Edwina, your host from the Ed's Lessons blog, a passionate advocate for play and inquiry, and on a mission to keep children curious and questioning. The days of talk and chalk are over. We're diving into the world of integrated, inquiry, and nature-based learning, and exploring the strategies that create lifelong learners. So if you're a classroom or homeschool educator, or even a curious parent, then this is the place for you. Every discovery ever had and still has one thing in common. They are all the result of curiosity. The desire to know, to explore, and to test hypotheses is a basic human characteristic. We see it most clearly in young children, trying to make sense of the world through their senses and through questions and testing boundaries to see what will happen. But then, for some reason, as we grow older, our curiosity seems to wane. We don't push the boundaries so much anymore, and we ask fewer questions, and we appear to accept the status quo as it is. Curiosity is a valuable commodity. It's the curious among us that solve problems, look for better ways of doing things, and conduct experiments to find things out and push the boundaries of exploration. In modern times, someone like Elon Musk is an example of what having a curious mind can achieve. Geniuses like Elon, of course, are few and far between, and we mere mortals cannot and must not compare ourselves to the likes of Elon. Firstly, because that's really unrealistic and unhealthy, and secondly, because we don't have to invent rockets or electric cars to be able to make a difference or live full and rewarding lives. Solving our own problems, being genuinely interested in the world around us, challenging ourselves, and exploring the boundaries of our own creativity. So how can we nurture our own curiosity? And why is it even important? Well, as educators, and please let me remind you again that when I say educators, I also and automatically always mean parents. Parents are the first educators, and we have a huge responsibility to ensure that we are doing the very best we can for our children in our care. To do the very best we can as educators means we cannot just be passive passengers. We must be active pursuers of information and constantly be problem solving. We're constantly asking ourselves, how can I do better? How can I help this child reach his or her milestones? How can I better engage children in my lessons? Why is this child disengaged? Why are the children not getting the information I'm teaching? Why? But curiosity, my friends, is often a double-edged sword. Although it is valued and deemed necessary for innovation, leaders in organizations often discourage it. In an article focused on businesses in the Harvard Business Review, I'll put a link in the show notes, a research study into curiosity found that although leaders valued curiosity because it led to new and innovative ways, leaders often discouraged it because they felt that the company would be harder to manage if people were all allowed to pursue their own interests. The research showed that although they listed curiosity as desirable, leaders frequently rejected creative ideas because exploration means people question the status quo, and leaders don't often welcome that. But questioning means not just accepting the first answer, which means that in the long run, it could actually get you a better result. And another reason why curiosity is discouraged is because companies value efficiency. An example of this was the Ford Motor Company. Henry Ford had one goal, and that was to reduce production costs and produce a car for the masses. And he was really successful for a long time in doing just that. But then in the 1920s, consumers began wanting greater variety, But Mr. Ford was so focused on efficiency that he lost his market share to General Motors because he stopped innovating and subsequently fell behind. These two reasons illustrate why curiosity declines in adults. The longer we remain in a job where curiosity is not valued, the more our own curiosity declines. The author of the Harvard article conducted a survey that found that employees' curiosity declined by 20% over 6 months because they were under pressure to complete their work, leaving little time to ask questions or be curious. And this business example is not dissimilar to what's happening in schools and education in general. Unless a school has a culture that values curiosity and innovation, it's difficult for individual educators to be that way inclined. If the administration deems them as hard to manage because they're always questioning the status quo, that's a tough call. Similarly, this could be the same for government entities pushing a single style or pedagogy as we get in education departments. But these kinds of organizations actually lose out in the long run, because they simply accept only one way of doing things. In a micro context, this could also be a classroom or even a family. If the educator does not value curiosity and questioning, children are going to become less and less curious and eventually lose interest. And how sad is that, that even before children have had an opportunity to discover their talents and gifts, they've already been squashed. And what impact would that have on children? If we only valued efficiency over curiosity, if we only valued assessment performance over curiosity and well-being, if we only valued direct instruction, for example, over inquiry, because that helped our test scores so that we could say to everyone, look how fabulous our children perform at tests, look how well we're doing. Never mind that they aren't curious, they can't solve problems, they aren't at all resilient, they can't do a single thing for themselves without having an adult hover over them or give them a script or a template. Last week, I was interviewed by Victoria Hackett. Yes, my very first interview by someone else on her Outdoor Classrooms podcast. And she asked me what resources I would recommend for educators if they wanted to create inquiry-based learning environments. Hey, subscribe and follow, by the way, this podcast so you don't miss out, and also follow me on Instagram and Facebook at Ed's Lessons if you want to be notified when Victoria publishes that episode. My answer to Victoria was simple. It was to be brave and curious yourself. As adults, you are the most important influence and resource when it comes to influencing children and their learning. Everything you do and say has an impact on children. So if you want children to be curious, to be creative, to problem solve, to ask questions, then you need to be modeling that. To be curious, we need to be asking questions of ourselves, because that's what we were doing as kids. And for whatever reason, we've stopped. And there are many reasons we stop being curious as children. I explored that in episode 17, so go back and listen to that episode to find out what some of these reasons are. As adults, we have the ability and the choice, by the way, to be curious. And I say this from a place of love and from a place of personal experience. We adults need to make whatever changes we need to make in our lives to be better for our children, because we influence the path that our children will take. So if your curiosity has been a little stunted or suppressed for whatever reason, what can you do to be more curious and model that to children? In a recent newsletter to my subscribers, I talked exactly about this. And if you want my insights into what's going on in education and how to encourage curiosity and inquiry or educational resources to help you implement inquiry with your learners, then go to edslessons.com and subscribe to my weekly newsletter. And click on the resources tab and you can check out all the resources there that can help you integrate inquiry into your lessons. So how can you nurture your curiosity? Firstly, is there something you've always wanted to do or think is really cool, but you've never had the courage to try it? Write a list down of all these things, even if it's just one thing. And it's there on a piece of paper now. It's tangible, right? Then next, be curious and go and do it. I know, does this sound too good to be true? Well, actively find out what you can do to go about doing this one thing and learn more about it and actually follow up. The present is a gift. Open it up. Find out as much about this as you can. Read, watch videos, talk to people, do whatever it needs to, whatever it takes. And then you share this with your learners, by the way. You let them know you're trying something new, even if it's in the classroom, and you tell them you're afraid of failing. Allow them to see that being afraid of trying something new is normal. Let me share a personal story very quickly. This podcast that you're listening to right now and my blog, It's Lessons, is the thing that I thought of for a very long time, but I was really afraid of doing it because I'm a perfectionist and I'm afraid of failure. But I'll be 59 this year, people, and I'm getting to the stage where it's now or never. So here I am. I'm doing this. I'm taking a risk, and failure is not an option. So you guys, share this podcast with everyone you know so that through this, we can keep more people and kids curious and meet their full potential in this world. And that'll be awesome. And I'll know that I've made a difference. The third thing, thanks very much for that, by the way. The third thing is to be open to failure and being uncomfortable that things are going to be hard. We've got to do the hard yards. It's not, everything isn't easy. We don't have to be gold medal winners all the time, and you don't always have to be competitive. You don't have to be the best. You just need to be better than you were yesterday and just keep going. Just like I'm doing here. And you do it for the sheer joy of it. Now, some of you might be saying, oh, come on, how is starting something new going to help me be more curious? Well, you're thinking, aren't you? You're asking questions of yourself. You're taking a risk. You're testing yourself and your abilities. You're going to make mistakes, and it's going to be hard, and you're going to show resilience, and you're going to keep going, and you're going to keep showing up. And that's exactly what curiosity is about. It's the same process that scientists and inventors go through. Fourth thing you can do to be more curious is be intentional and reflect often. When you're trying something new, you're going to stop now and again and evaluate how you're doing. You're not just going to keep going and making the same mistakes over and over again. Remember, Einstein said that was insanity. We're going to test something new. You're going to test a new or a different way of achieving your plan if things aren't working. This is exactly what the inquiry process is. You being interested in something actually makes you a more interesting person. In the same way, we're cultivating curiosity in children because we're encouraging them to find their passions and give them the skills and the tools to eventually be able to pursue their own interests. Number five, shouldn't be a surprise. Ask questions. Ask why, what if, how else could we? And then be honest if you don't know something. Acknowledge you don't know the answer. But you're curious to find out. And in so doing, you're open to others' points of view. And when you accept that you don't know it all, you open yourself up to exploration. And so you enrich your knowledge and you create opportunities for greater exploration and discovery. Modeling questioning and exploration is essential for creating environments where curiosity and innovative thinking can thrive. I created an e-guide that's all about nurturing natural curiosity in young children. And in the guide, I have a list of open-ended question openers to ask children to get them wondering. There's a link on my landing page, so you just go to www.edslessons.com and you'll find it there. Number six, make having an inquiry mindset a part of your life. Try and read something nonfiction every day. Read a news article or listen to the news. But don't just consume like a passive consumer. You then have to ask questions. Could there be something else? Could there be another reason? Why? Look for bias and read from a variety of sources. There is nothing an algorithm loves more than you going back to the same old thing day in and day out, and then it's just going to feed you with whatever you're looking for. So if we want to grow our mindset, we also need to look at different sources. Reading, as we know, is the one thing that creates a world of possibilities. So it's the most essential skill for anyone to have in order to find and decipher information. As educators, reading is probably the one skill we prioritize, and rightly so. But we must also model reading for pleasure so that children don't feel that reading is a chore. Whenever we learn something new or make a discovery, we get a hit of dopamine. And by the way, that also keeps our minds sharp as we age. So nurturing our own and our learners' curiosity should always be at the forefront of our teaching. I recently attended a PD with Kath Murdoch, and she said that whenever you're teaching a lesson, any lesson, the question to ask yourself is, how can I bring an inquiry stance to this lesson? In other words, how can you structure your lesson to get learners involved in thinking, collaboration, testing, wondering, and being active in the learning process, not just passive consumers of information? Talking about structuring lessons, by the way, I'm offering a 1-hour free coaching session to educators, either home or classroom based, that perhaps need a little direction or help with integrating inquiry into lessons. In the session, we will brainstorm how you might bring an inquiry stance to your lessons and how we can integrate inquiry into your lessons. Coaches are charging thousands of dollars for coaching sessions, but I'm giving a limited number of you an opportunity for a free brainstorming and coaching session. So if this is something that you would appreciate, then go to resources.edslessons.com/inquiry101coaching. I will put a link in the show notes so you don't forget. So I hope you found some value in today's episode and that it gave you some food for thought. If it did, I would love you to share it, because that's the only way this podcast grows and more people benefit from its content. So share like mad and leave me a review if you found it useful or interesting. That'll really keep me going and creating more content. I really would appreciate that. So I'll see you all next week. I hope that you found some value here today. And until I see you next week, or until you hear me next week, stay blooming curious.